Would 2 Timothy chapter number 1. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. Hope you were ready for some preaching. Want some preaching. Sometimes I get in the pulpit and I wonder if people's really wanting preaching or wanting to go to the house. But anyway, I know what we need. I don't know what we want, but I know what we need. We need preaching. We can't get too much of that. That's for sure, isn't it? 2 Timothy chapter number 1. We're going to jump back in on our subject that we've dealt with three or four services already on the subject of commitment. We'll just read, we've not read these verses in a while. Let's just read some of them. Verse number 8, we'll start in 2 Timothy 1 and verse number 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me, and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently, and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. You know, I just noticed something reading that verse just now. I just seen this. Let me read it again. The Lord grant unto him, that is Onesiphorus, Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. Now that's a future. He's reaching out in the future. And in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. I believe it's showing us right here that the way that Onesiphorus treated God's man and how he ministered to him and often refreshed him and was not ashamed of his chains and was diligent to find him and help him and to stand with him when all those others had left him. Paul is showing in verse 18 that that's going to affect him in that day. That's going to have an impact on him with mercy, how he ministered unto me. So, amen? So how you serve the Lord today, and particularly in this text, how do you line up with the preached word will affect you in the future. The future here and the future in eternity as well. And then verse number 1 and 2 of chapter 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Let's pray. Father, I ask you now to help me as we look in the precious word of God for a few minutes. Lord, take control of me. Give me insight. Give me inspiration. Lord, give me unction and power, dear Lord. I know people are tired and weary, dear God, and I know it's a busy day. Lord, I know that, and very taxing upon the flesh. But I pray that, God, you'll help me, Lord, to get us beyond the flesh, get us beyond the physical. And, Lord, we need a touch from you. Lord, I thank you for how you've helped us and blessed us, God, here at the church, but we need a touch from you tonight. We need a word from you. We need, God, the breath of heaven to come through this place. God, to stir our spirit and to strengthen our faith and our commitment, Lord, to you. God, when we get weak and weary, sometimes we get to questioning, sometimes we get to doubting or second guessing some of the vows we've made, some of the commitments we've made. We need, Lord, you to come through here tonight through the preaching of the Word of God and the Spirit of God, we pray, and confirm again afresh and anew those things in our heart that we've made vows about, that we've made commitments about, and Lord, that you've committed unto us that we're to keep. I pray you help us, Lord. This is not an hour to wobble on the shaft. It's not a time, Lord, for us to become feeble and Lord, fickle. It's not a time for us to be flimsy. Lord, it's a time for us to be strong and stand fast and be stable, Lord. It's really a time for that. Help us, Lord, I pray. I know your grace is sufficient. Lead me now and guide as I endeavor to preach. Bring to my attention what I need to see and say. Help us to be refreshed in those things that we've already heard. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I'm dealing with the subject of commitment. And I hope that the subject of commitment is dealing with us. If I'm just dealing with it and it's not dealing with us, then what good is it? Amen. What good is preaching if it doesn't get in our hearts? What good is the what good is the printed word? I mean, not just the preached word. What good is the printed word if it don't get into our life? Amen. It's like food that remains on the plate will do you no good until it gets in your mouth. Amen. It can only become a part of you. It can only help you when it becomes a part of you. When you've digested it, when you have appropriated it into your being and it breaks down and becomes a part of you. Amen. You can't separate. When you eat something and it digests and it gets in you and becomes a part of you, you can't separate it from you. You couldn't cut it out. Amen. It goes into your cells. It becomes you. It becomes you. Amen. You are what you eat. And so may the preaching word and the printed word get in us and be a part of us and let us have a strong commitment to it. But we're preaching about commitment, verse number 12. We find the word committed is mentioned in verse 12. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And so the word committed is shown in verse 12. And then verse number 14, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost. So we find in verse 12, there's the word commitment and a keeping of that. Amen. Verse 14, there's a committing of to us, and we're to keep it. We need a revival of commitment. We really do. And I see very little of it in our day. Very little of it. That's why revivals don't last. That's why good services don't last. You can have a good service on Sunday, and you can't hardly see any effects of it by Wednesday night. Why is that? Lack of commitment. Amen. Instead of commitment, we're operating more off of emotions. That's right. And you know as well as I do, you can be on an emotional high tonight and be on the bottom tomorrow. But faith is consistent. That's why the Bible said four times, the just shall live by faith. Amen. We're to live by commitment, not by feelings or circumstances. Amen. Good times come, good times go, it doesn't matter. We made a decision when we got saved that we're going with God. We're not going to back up. We've come too far to turn around. There's too much at stake. Amen. We're not going to walk away. We are in for the long haul. And your flesh needs to know that. You need to tell your flesh that don't like that. You need to tell your flesh you might as well sit down and shut up because I have made a commitment to God. I'm going with God. Amen. That's right. You can't cater to the flesh. You can't listen to the whining of the flesh. You'll be out of church. You'll quit praying. You'll quit reading your Bible. Amen. About every single day. If you listen to and cater to the whining and appetites of the flesh. Amen. Tell it to shut up. Amen. You say, is that scriptural? Well, I don't know if I can find a verse that said, tell the flesh to shut up, but I can find a verse in 1 Corinthians 9 where Paul said he beat his flesh black and blue. Amen? Amen? That's probably a little stronger. That's a little stronger probably than telling your flesh to shut up. Smack it around a little bit. And I'm not talking about your wife either, amen? Amen. That's right. Paul said that he didn't shadow box. He wasn't beating the air. You know, he wasn't fighting in the air. That doesn't do no good. But he made it very clear. He said in the subject of discipline, amen, and temperance, he said, I land them blows to myself to keep myself in subjection. Amen. Beat myself into subjection. Bring myself into subjection. Paul, what? Why? Paul made it very clear. Hey, flesh, I made a commitment to God. People, when they get converted, need to feel like they've made a commitment to God. A lifelong commitment to God. A commitment that should influence every choice in life. A commitment that should be a force in your life. How can you quit if you're committed? How can you get out of church if you're committed? How can you get out of the Word of God and off your knees if you're committed? Amen? You got to get away from that commitment, and the devil knows that. That's why he fights that so. That's why he doesn't want you your life to be lived by faith and your life to be lived by commitment. He wants your life to be controlled by circumstances. Well, I'll be faithful to church, preach, as long as everything's going fine. Well, what is going to happen to you when things are not going fine? Amen? Yeah. I've seen them. I've been in this thing long enough. I can preach a little bit now from experience. I used to have to tell somebody else's stories. I've got a few I can tell now. Amen? But I'm telling you, I've seen a lot of people do good till a bad time come. I've seen them do good till in the sunshine, but when the storm cloud came, they got wobbly and fickle and feeble and shaky and become unfaithful to church. Hey, that's a bad testimony. That's a bad testimony. Amen. To see somebody consistent, somebody gave that as a word description of their mother this morning, was consistent. Praise God. Amen. I mean, when everything's fine, They're stable. When it's not fine, they're stable. That means a lot. When people around you sees you up and down, that's a bad testimony. Are you listening? I'm not trying to make light of hard times. I'm just saying that God's grace is sufficient in hard times. God will help you in hard times. God is a God that's faithful in hard times. Amen? He don't fizzle out when it gets tough. Amen? He just pours on the extra strength and gives extra grace. He just comes by your side as your comfort. He comes in there as your consolation. He comes in there as your strength. Amen? As your rock. And he can help you through it. Amen? And that's a great testimony to people around you that's watching your life. And they see hard times come in your life, but they see you faithful. They see you committed. You're staying committed to being committed. They see that. Well, that's a good testimony. That's a good testimony. Amen? Be faithful. Stay with it. Quitting's never fixed nothing. Hello. Amen. Tell the flesh that. Quitting has never fixed nothing. If the Lord don't change my mind, and I don't even probably need to mention it right now, because many of the fathers may lay out on Father's Day. But if the Lord don't change my mind, I'm going to preach on Father's Day on real men quit. Real men quit. I'm going to leave that with you. That's in the Bible. Do you know that? Paul said, quit ye like men. So there you are. I may have just messed that message up. I don't know. Amen. But stay with it. Quitting's never fixed anything. Amen. Worry's never fixed nothing. I don't know why I'm dealing with all this. Worry's never fixed nothing. Amen. Prayerlessness has never fixed nothing. Amen. Robbing God's never fixed nothing. Amen. Quit giving to missions has never fixed nothing. Not going to church has never fixed nothing. Amen. Stay with it. If you're going to get some help, think about it. If you're going to get some help, surely it's going to come out of the Bible. So keep reading it. If you're going to get some help, surely it's going to come in prayer. So keep praying. If you're going to get some help, surely it's going to be at church. So stay in church. Amen. Surely if you're going to get some help, it's going to come through your fellow believers. So stay in fellowship with God's people. Amen. Praise God. Hook up with that wicked crowd. That's not going to be the answer for you. Do what they do. Run with them. That's not going to help you. That's just going to make it worse. That's going to make matters worse. If you don't know what to do, just keep doing right. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. said, do right if the stars fall. Amen. It's always right to do right. It's never right to do wrong. Amen. God's got me preaching to somebody. Amen. I didn't get up here to say none of that. I'm telling you, it's time that God's people be committed to their commitment. Be committed. Amen. It's not an option. You don't bail out on a commitment. You don't back up on a commitment. Your commitment's not for sale. Yeah. You talk about the preacher not being for sale, and praise God, I want to be that. Amen. Not for sale. My message is not for sale. My morals is not for sale. My mate's not for sale. Amen. And we could go right on. Praise God. Amen. We're not for sale. We're not for sale. Amen. I want to tell you, it takes more than that to have a good, strong church. It takes members that are not for sale. Members that are committed. Members that are strong. Members that know what they believe and refuse to back up. You know as well as I know, as well as I'm standing here, that, buddy, we're in a day of pressure. We're in a day, buddy, when your commitments will be challenged. Is that not right? Your commitments are going to be challenged sometimes by the foe. Sometimes your commitment is going to be challenged by friends. Sometimes your commitment is going to be challenged by family. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Sure it will be, Brother Chuck. That's similar to what you've been saying. Your commitment will be challenged by family. You'd think that family would be the one that would pat you on the back and encourage you and say, I'm glad what God's doing in your life. But many times they will be your worst critics. Amen. They'll be the first one to put their foot on you and push you down in the dirt. Amen. And would rejoice if you fail. Amen. Many times that's so. I'm going to tell you what, friend, I'm not living based on friends. I'm not living my life based on family. I'm not living my life based on how the devils are treating me. No, friend, I'm living my life because when I went to an altar 31 years ago, I made not only a choice, but I made a commitment to God. And I got saved and I'm going to live for you. And that's not ever one time, Brother Mike. Never has that ever come up for discussion. Never. God's never brought it up for discussion. I've never brought it up for discussion. There's nothing to discuss. It's a done deal. Amen? Your commitment is concrete. It's settled. And it means something, and God's going to hold you to it. Hello? I hope everybody listens to that statement. God's going to hold you to your commitment. Amen? What you said and the vows you made and what you promised, God's going to hold you to it. Amen. You back off and back away, change your mind, choose another course, you'll meet that again somewhere down the road. You'll meet that at the judgment seat if you're saved. Oh, mercy. Help us, Lord. But commitment. Amen. Amen. Lord, help us, Jesus. We need our commitment strengthened. So when challenges come, we will respond right. We will respond right. Amen. Try it. Young people that's still in the school system and still around other young people, there'll be times your commitment's going to be a challenge. They're going to challenge it. They're going to tempt you. They're going to ask you to do things that you know good and well is going to go cross grain with your commitment. They're going to ask you to be something, go somewhere that you know is going to be questionable as to what you said and what you professed and what you believe. Amen? Right. Amen. You're going to have to, if you're committed, you'll stand. Amen. If you're committed, young people, you'll stand. Amen. Now, and you don't have to be a smart aleck to stand. You don't have to be hateful and mean and make everybody else look like scum bait just because you're standing and they're not. You can stand your ground and be a Christian about it. Amen? That's right. But you be committed. Be committed to the point that when you're tempted and challenged, you'll stand your ground. You stand your ground. Amen. I know people that's paid a high price, buddy, for being saved. Amen? I'm not talking about martyrs. There's been a lot of that. You ought to read Fox's Book of Martyrs. You ought to read Trail of Blood. You ought to read those books. It tells about our history and our heritage, how people suffered. And there's even accounts of it even in the Bible. James, the first martyr in the book of Acts there, how he was killed. You know, hey, read about it. There's a price. You know why they didn't, you know why they were martyred? They wouldn't bow. They wouldn't bend. They wouldn't turn around. They wouldn't deny the faith. They wouldn't recant their commitment. They stayed true to what they promised God. Amen. God help us. I just really wonder in this hour, and I don't know what's going to happen in our country politically. You know, I don't know I know the condition it's already in is a mess. But if it goes on the present course another 4 years, it's probably going to get exceedingly and excessively worse. And the pressure is going to get greater on the church and greater against Christianity, as we're seeing same-sex marriage highly publicized, even the president of our country, and that's the best way I can word it, is the president of this nation has already made it very public that he's for it. Now, if the head of our country has already made it very nationally known, I'm for it, and a church that is a church is against it, then right there we've already got national opposition. Hello? The pressure is on. It's going to be a crime to do right. And doing wrong is going to be condoned. Doing right will get you put in jail possibly, may possibly cause you to lose your job, may possibly cost you big time. But are you committed enough to where if the pressure does get on you and come into your life that you'll stay true to God? I hope you, of course, I've preached here enough and y'all have heard me preach enough. You know, I didn't get up here to say none of this. I was just going to kind of give us a little refresher of our inner, where we've been already and pick up where we're at. I've not even done none of that. We need help in the area of our commitment because the pressure is coming. The pressure's coming. You young ladies in here, young girls and young men in here, you ought to be so committed to God. You ought to be so committed to God that if a boy or a girl even challenges that in the slightest way, that you'll take a stand with God and put them on the road. Amen. That's right. But how many? How many of I saw? How many of you saw? Right, the opposite happened, Brother Craig. They did good, and they did seemingly was doing good in their walk with God till romance come into the picture. And then all of a sudden, they throw God aside. And if you have to throw God aside to have somebody, are they sent of God? Are they placed in your life by the Lord? If you have to backslide to have a boyfriend, what does that say about him, and what does that say about you? You should be looking for somebody that'll compliment your serving God. You should look for somebody that will honor your commitment to God. Amen. Find somebody that's looking for somebody that's got a commitment to God. Amen. You can't do much with somebody that don't have no desire to serve God. You can't do nothing with them. Oh, I'll change them. Are you willing to trust the statistics? Are you willing to trust chance? When the odds are against you changing them? Amen? Be committed. Be committed to God that no boyfriend will challenge it. No girlfriend will challenge it. No promotion at work will challenge it. No job offers will challenge it. Amen. Amen. God help us. I believe more people's living off of fear than they are faith. Amen. Well, preacher, I got these needs, and here comes, looks like, some way of meeting those needs, but it's going to knock your spiritual life in the head. You think that was the right move? We've seen them right here in this church. We've seen that happen. Have a testimony on fire, family and church. All of a sudden, a job offer comes available. They take it. They're out of church. Family's out of church. That was not God's will. It might have been an open door, but it wasn't God. Be committed. Be committed to the point to where you say, God, this Bible's true, and I'm going to stand on it. Amen. If I have to pick up cans, amen, and eat wish pudding, I'm going to stay in the house of God. I'm going to stay right with God. I'm going to do the will of God. Amen. Step out by faith on your commitment and be strong. Amen. And watch God work. Hallelujah. That's right. Amen. Be committed. Be committed. Amen. Amen. That's right. Lord, help us, Jesus. You better not trust your feelings, young people. I know I preach to you a lot, and you might as well just get used to it. I love you, and I want you to do right. And a lot of these parents in here wants me to preach to you because really they're wanting me to say this. They don't want you to do as they've done. I don't want you to do as I've done. We don't want you to taste the bitter waters of stupidity that we've had. We don't want you to go down our trail. We want you to avoid those things and be able to stand and testify not only now but 20 years from now that I've never tasted alcohol. I've never done none of these foolishness. Amen. I've stayed clean with God because I went to an old-fashioned altar at RBT and I made a commitment to God. Amen. That I'm going to live clean and I'm going to stay with God. Amen. Yeah, hallelujah. That's what we want. That's what we desire, Brother Tim, to preach these young people like that. Amen. Don't live by feelings. If you live by feelings, listen, hello, come on now. I don't know why I'm on this, but it feels good, and I don't feel no restrictions on it, and we're just going with it. Amen. That's right. Amen. But if you young people get interested in a boy or a girl, a girlfriend or boyfriend, you get interested in them, and you know good and well after you've talked to them a time or two, and really you probably know before that by how they live, well, amen, that if they're interested in the things of God or if they share common ground with you on your commitment to God, amen, you should know that up front. Because you don't, listen, the sooner you know that, the sooner you'll know to break it off or not. Amen. Because if you hang around, amen, and keep calling and all of that, those things, you know what's going to get involved? Feelings. Your emotions, you're going to get attached to that individual. Though you know in your heart they ain't right. You know they're not helping you spiritually. You know they'd rather talk about everything in the book instead of Jesus. Amen. They won't dare pray with you. They won't dare read the Word of God with you. Amen. They're ashamed of old time preaching. Probably be ashamed of your preacher if the truth was known. Amen. You need to know those things early in life. Amen. Be committed enough to where you can drop the hammer on them. Amen. Be committed enough to where you can drop the axe on them. Not literally, but in the relationship. Say, hey, buddy, you're out of here. Try it. That's right. If they try to touch you inappropriately, which touching you at all should be pretty much looked at that way. Old Brother Andy Wells, some of these girls and boys that went to youth camp several years, the Bustler, Bustler girls? The two sisters, Alicia. Well, Alicia just got married, 28 years old. Got married at Christmas time. Got married at Christmas. No, got married at Easter. Brother Andy preached. Man, I'd like to hear it. He preached in that, it starts at funeral. But well, about one and the same, amen. A lot of similarities. But he preached in that wedding on bearing the cross of marriage. And he compared Calvary and a lot of those features of Calvary to a marriage. How there'll be times of that you'll have to forgive. And there'll be times of darkness, and there'll be times that you feel like God's gone. God, why hast thou forsaken me? You know, tremendous. Just what he told me is tremendous. Bearing the cross of marriage. But there come Miss Alicia down the aisle, 28 years old. and come back down the aisle with her daddy and came to the front. And her daddy gave a little speech before he gave her away. Gave a little speech about how they've tried to raise her and, of course, raise her right and all that. And he took her hand and placed it in his hand. And that was the first time they ever held hands. Never kissed, never hugged, never held hands. That's the way it ought to be. That's the way it ought to be. You'll never go to God and have to ask forgiveness for impure thoughts and fornication and all that mess if you don't touch. Touch stirs the flesh. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you've been saved 9,000 years. Your flesh is still rotten and touching. And let me ask you something. I don't know why in the world I'm on this. Let me ask you something. How many of the opposite sex would you have to hug? How many would you have to hug on before you would not be filled with the Spirit? Amen. Wouldn't be too many. Probably the answer to that, it would be zero. The first one you hug on, you probably got out of the Spirit and got in the flesh. You say, preacher, preaching like that, there will nobody ever get married. Is that right? Are you taking away from the Bible? God said it's better for a man not to touch a woman. Amen. That's right. That's right. There ain't no way you can do that and be right with God. There ain't no way. Even though you may feel like you're keeping the relationship in those areas of in containment, yet in the mind is impure thoughts. I don't care who it is. I guarantee you there are wicked thoughts in the mind stirred up by contact. Be committed. Be committed. Stand your ground. If they need to go down the road, tell them. Don't touch me. Don't touch me. Talk to me, but don't touch me. Amen. And if we're going to go out on a date, we're going to church. And probably have mom and daddy in the back seat. Don't ever be alone. Don't ever be alone. Start in Genesis, come through the Bible and see how many people fail when they got alone. Amen. That's right. Come on now. Ain't a doubt in my mind. The devil called Eve when Adam wasn't around. Amen. The devil does damage when you're by yourself. Solitude is dangerous. Secrecy is dangerous. I don't care how saved you are. You get behind closed doors and out of the eye of authority and accountability, you'll do things that you wouldn't do otherwise. Well, not my daughter, not my son, baloney. They've got a rotten flesh, a wicked flesh that is never not saved and never will be saved. It's wicked, amen, and loves sin. And it'll go beyond the extra mile if it's alone. Any boy try to get you girls alone by yourself out of the sight of mom and dad, amen, you need to set them straight right off the bat. Boys, any girl try to get you alone, you need to set them straight. That's good preaching, preacher. I'll say my own amens. That's right. There's adults in this building right now could testify, and don't want you to, because that's gone. That's out of our life. Amen. That's out of our past. But we could testify, buddy, that we got messes in our life through that physical contact stuff. Amen. That's good preaching. Fam doing it. Amen. That's right. We're going to preach it right, whether you do it or not. We're going to preach it straight, whether you do it or not. Amen. I want your, praise God, Brother Randy testified here the other night. If it's a lie, he told it, and I don't believe he was telling one. He said when he went to the marriage altar, he said he was pure, hadn't touched any other woman but his wife, and been faithful. Boy, isn't that a great testimony? Great testimony. You know one thing that was behind that? Got saved at 10 years old. Not just made a profession, but got saved and lived for God. Started living for God at 10 years old. And been preaching most of that time. Treating his commitment seriously. Amen. Well, I hope God helped us to receive all that. I don't know. Amen. Ain't no doubt. There wasn't none of that rambling. Praise God. Help us to receive it, Lord. Say, preach, you preach it tight. What else am I supposed to do? What else am I supposed to do? I mean, we've got a plague in this nation of unwed mothers, teenagers, babies having babies. Somebody better say something. Somebody better preach on it. Amen. And none of that would have ever happened. I guarantee you, none of that would have ever happened. A lot of that, if not all of that, would have never happened if there would have been accountability around. If somebody would have been in the same room with them. No, they got alone and did not stop the physical touching. You say, preacher, that's a little too plain. No, brother, don't even go there. Don't even go there. Amen. You watch more than that, and the news is more plain than that. Yeah, God help us. But most preachers won't say a thing about it. Won't say nothing about it. And a part of that is because maybe somebody in the church is like that, or it's happened to them. I'm not putting them down. I'm not putting them down. I preach against a lot of things that we've got people in the church that somewhere in your life you're guilty of that. I'm not putting you down. I'm just trying to keep this new generation from being guilty of the same. Thank God, God's forgive you for that. God's forgive you for those things. Hallelujah. And your desire ought to be, yeah, preacher, preach to them that they don't do what I did. Amen. But some preachers afraid to preach on things because they got people in the church that have done it or is guilty of it. Amen. God help us. Hallelujah, Lord. By the grace of God, I'm going to preach it. Tell it right. In the right spirit. People may not listen. We've had them come and go. Won't listen. I'm going to preach it anyhow. I love you. And I know some people listen to me preach, especially if I deal with some of that stuff like I've dealt with tonight, which there's Bible for it. It's not just my opinion. I mean, really, that's right. Amen. Amen. And if you can't contain yourself in that area, the Bible, Paul said it's better to marry than to burn. Amen. It's better to stay away from the burning aspect, and that's talking about the fire of the flesh that comes through contact and things that stirs up the flesh. If you do things that stirs up the flesh, you are asking for trouble. You are asking for trouble. And Paul said it's better not to touch a woman. And it for the simple reason is that it's going to stir up that human fire in you. And when that human fire gets bigger than your will, that's when you'll say yes, when at other times you would have said no. You have a breaking point. You have a point where your flesh becomes vulnerable. Amen. You better listen. There's a place where your flesh becomes weak, and that no becomes a maybe. That once was a strong no. I'm not going to do that, and I'm not going there. I'm not going that. I'm not doing that. The further you go with that, the weaker your flesh will get till your no will turn into a maybe, and your maybe will soon turn into a yes. And then it can get out of control. It's already out of control, but it'll become more than you can handle, and your life will be a wreck. Amen? Stay straight. It's better to stay out of the ditch than just try to get out of it. Amen? It's better to stay pure than to try to come to an altar and beg God to forgive you and deal with all of that thoughts and things you've seen and experiences that you're exposing your flesh to. It's better to stay away from those things. Amen, parents. Say amen right there. Amen. Every parent in you ought to be saying amen to that, to the preaching of the Word of God. Well, I didn't get nowhere where I thought I was going, honestly, before the Lord. I didn't. But I prayed the Lord to help me tonight. I prayed for the Lord to help me. And the Lord just made it easy for me to just preach tonight. On commitment. We need it. We got to have it. And we want all these young people in here that's not saved, that's small, or whatever their age are, that's not saved. I'm not wanting to soften it and water it down. I want them to know when they come to an altar or they bow at your house by the bedside and they ask Jesus to save them. We want them to know that's serious business. We want them to know that that is a commitment. Conversion is a commitment. When you give over your life to God, when you give over your soul to God, amen? That's right. And we want them to know that's a commitment, being committed. So I'm afraid of that, preacher. Why? Why would you be afraid of committing yourself to God? And I'm convinced a lot of people that won't get saved, they don't want to commit to God. They would love for God to take off the guilt. They would love for God to take off that burden and weight of sin, Brother Mark. They'd love that. They don't want a master. They don't want a Lord that's going to control them and dictate to them their life and that'll lead them down life's journey. Why wouldn't you? If you're like me, when I was in the driver's seat of my life, I stayed in the ditch 99% of the time. Praise God. I mean, why? Why would I not want a new master at the helm of the ship, Brother Craddock? Why? Why would I want somebody that knew how to drive in my life when all I did was wreck my life? Amen. Praise God. He's been in the driver's seat 31 years, and I tell you, he's never put me in the ditch one time. If I've been in the ditch any, it's because I've opened the door and jumped in the ditch. But he's never put me in the ditch. You can trust him. He can lead your life as a shepherd leads the sheep. He knows where the still waters are. He knows where the green pastures are. He knows where to lead you. Amen? To avoid things in your life. He knows that. You can trust him. Amen. I'm not your shepherd. I'm the under-shepherd. I'm just the pastor. I'm the mail carrier. I'm to preach what God said. He, the Lord Jesus, is your shepherd. And you can trust his leadership. He'll never fail you. He'll never lie to you. He'll never do you wrong. He'll never do that. Amen. Well, I hope you've received a preaching tonight about commitment. We need it. We need to be committed to the things of God. We need a revival of that, because there's not many people's got that. Amen. And apart from commitment, I'm going to say this and I'm going to be done. Apart from commitment, would you listen to me? Apart from commitment, there's people in this room tonight that will not be in church in a year or 2 years from this night. Apart from commitment. There'll be something come in your life to challenge you. There'll be something come in your life to hurt you, offend you, to disappoint you. And if you're not committed to God, you'll turn away. You better get your commitment settled now. Don't wait till the fire comes. Don't wait till the trial comes. Don't wait till the battle comes. Then try to get down to business. And I know this is old stuff. I've said it many times. I believe with all of my heart the reason Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stayed faithful to God and was faithful to God in the fire, they were faithful to God before the fire. Before the challenge ever come, before the mandate ever come down and said, whoever does not bow will burn. Before that ever come to that point, they was already committed. Before Daniel was ever thrown and challenged that if you don't bow and quit praying and all that, go be thrown in the lions den, a den of lions. Before that ever came along, Brother Jeter, no doubt, amen, he already had her nailed down. He was committed to God. Because he prayed afterwards as before. He didn't start praying after that challenge come. He was praying as before. He just went on with his commitment. Are you committed? Am I committed? How committed are we? What level are we committed? Amen. Parents, got to have you committed. You got to be committed. Got to be. I was going to deal with it tonight. We'll deal with it next whenever the Lord gives us liberty. But we're going to deal tonight with the passing on of that commitment. The passing on, that succession. Brother, listen, Paul said to Timothy, Timothy, that unfeigned faith that was in your mother, Eunice, and in your grandmother, Lois, I am persuaded is in you also. Succession. Three generations right there. Grandmother, mother, and now in Timothy. And then in chapter 6, God told Timothy, Timothy, you teach others also. Amen? You commit to others. Succession. Succession. Everybody in here is the missing link between the past generation and the future generation. If you don't pass it on, the next generation will have nothing to keep. Will have nothing to hold on to. Will have nothing to commit to. Amen? That's why I want to preach. That's why I want to be faithful. And that link between the past. Amen? The Dr. Seilers are gone. Mace Jacksons are gone. B.R. Lakens are gone. All those great men of God, and they're dying periodically. I'm getting news across our land of great preachers that are up in years, and physically they're breaking down, and many of them are leaving off the scene. Where's the new generation coming on? When I look at a lot of the preachers coming up now, I'm very disappointed. Very disappointed. Very disappointed. Amen. They might be able to get in a pulpit and give you a lecture. They might be able to get in a pulpit and give you some Bible information. They don't know a thing about the power of God. They don't know nothing much about unction and power, living for God. They don't know much about that. They just don't know much about it. It's a shame. Sad. It's a sad. I'm a dying breed. I'm a dying breed. And the world's glad of it. A lot of religious church people are glad of it. Glad in that Richard Rackley crowd's gone. Amen. They like that liberal voice. It's not offensive. Don't ever deal with nothing. Live as you please. Do as you please. But I'm not in that crowd. And I got saved, Brother Silas, and I'm not trying to say anything that I've not already said. And I hope my life says amen to it. But when I surrender to preach, I surrender to do just that. Preach the Word of God. Amen. And I mean to keep on doing it by the grace of God. And I'm not trying to do it for reputation's sake. I'm not doing it for that. I'm doing it because I can't do anything else. Amen. I told my wife today, I said, honey, I'm going to be preaching when my toes is turned up. Lord willing, that's my intention. That's my commitment. I'm going to be preaching until when the last breath goes out of my lungs. I'm going to preach. I'm going to be preaching, Lord willing. Amen. That's right. Or if Jesus comes. Well, I'd hate to spend the last 10, 15 years of my life as just a pew setter and just on the shelf. And Lord have mercy. I couldn't stand that. I couldn't stand that. We need to cry loud and spare not. Lift up our voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgression. And that's what we intend to do by the grace of God. And RBT, you'll never know this side of heaven how much I love you and appreciate you respecting me for preaching, letting me preach. Let me preach. Amen. I know you all agree with it. You don't all agree with it. But you at least respect me for preaching. And I appreciate that from the deep of my heart. Amen. I want God to change your life. I don't know of anything I've ever preached that would hurt you if you did it. I don't know of anything. I mean, I really don't. It may hurt you being popular, but I'm not interested in you being popular. I'm interested in you being pure. I'm interested in you living clean, growing up as a young person, and being mature, and being committed, and have some convictions in your life, and have a strong fellowship and relationship with God. And someday, maybe the Lord work it to where you can get married and have your family and raise them for God, and take that succession and pass it on and live for God, and have grandchildren and them grow up and have their families if the Lord doesn't come back, and they stay in church and be strong. That's what I want to see. That's what I want to see. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Thank you so much for being here tonight. Father, I pray in Jesus' name.